Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise podcast. We're going to talk a little baseball, and so with me is Bally's national MLB writer, David Brown.
Hi, Andy.
How are you?
I'm good. I just got back from St. Louis, and my arms are tired or something.
You went to St. Louis on purpose?
I did, for work. I wanted to talk to the Padres. I had this unoriginal idea about what makes a great manager, and supposedly Bob Melvin is among the greatest, and so I wanted to get their perspective on what makes him a good manager.
That's good. I like Bob. Seems like a relatively normal person.
I would say that's a great way. That's going on his Hall of Fame plaque.
Yeah,
Bob Melvin, relatively normal. You know,
did he
very very calm?
He didn't have like his prostate in a jar. Was he showing people? They let you keep those, like tonsils?
Yeah, or for the prostate fairy. No.
Put this under your pillow. It's like, Bob, you should have left that in the jar. Oh, that's a god-awful mess.
that didn't come up. That would have been a good topic. But
oh, I'm sure he'd have loved it.
Yes.
Yeah. But, well, I'm glad he's doing better, clearly. He's back and he's managing and...
And they've the Padres finished so poorly last season, but have been, even though they've had lots of things go wrong, Fernando Tatis hasn't played, and half the lineup is hitting about 175, but they're winning anyway. They got swept by the Cardinals, but they were winning until this series. So it's not horribly uninteresting.
So they'd had enough of Jace Tingler?
They had. Nobody would really say that he was like an incompetent boob, but you sort of read that in the subtext that it's really nice to have a manager that knows what he's doing. I mean, Basically that was the story.
Yeah, that's good.
And Bob's got, gobs and gobs of experience. So, and Jace didn't have any, and it kind of showed last year. So.
Well, they've got what? They've got six starting pitchers and Manny Machado. That's all you need.
Pretty much, without Tatis in the lineup, it's funny, they have one of the more expensive payrolls in the league, yet so many holes in the lineup. I don't know if that's just from buying, Drew Pomerantz and too many players like that, but they didn't necessarily spend all their money wisely, so they go out and get Robinson Cano off the waiver wire for the minimum. And he actually, speaking of hitting about 175, I think he's also slugging 175. And he sent the ball to almost the fence today the warning track. And that would have been a tying three-run homer had it gone over, but it didn't. So, and there's a report now that they're about to ask him to go to AAA, and he's probably going to say no, so they're probably going to cut him. So that's what's up with the Padres.
Now, were they trying to send him to AAA, their AAA affiliate, or do they want him to, like, drive a tow truck? Did he specify? I don't have my CDL. I don't know if I can do that. Robinson, that's not what
that's a Class B on the license. Where's the Padres AAA? I can envision Hawaii because that's where it was like 35 years ago, but it's not there
anymore.
Could
be El Paso, Reno. Reno. I bet it's Reno. Sounds good.
They sent a man to Reno just to watch his career die. So.
Well, that was good. So you were in San. You've been a traveling fool.
I have. Emphasis on the fool.
They're the El Paso Chihuahuas.
Oh.
Chihuahuas.
Thank you for looking that up.
Yes. Oh, no, I didn't look it up. I knew it.
Thank you for your brain knowing it.
Nobody Googles like me and Taylor McGregor. The best. But yeah, so you were in St. Louis, but last week you were at our nation's capital.
I was, and the ballpark reminds me a little bit of Target Field. I don't know if anybody's listening, but it's kind of like that, where it's an urban setting, and Washington D.C. is that part of the Navy Yards. Is super gentrified, but they've turned it into like a little Wrigley field. It's like right across the street, there's just gobs and gobs of apartments, and you can just sort of sense the young people in the air. And it's just, obviously that's the kind of neighborhood. You know how St. Louis has that like half a block of things just on the other side of Busch Stadium? I hate to mention it.
Ballpark Village?
Yes, the Ballpark Village. It's like that, but it sort of surrounds it. It's kind of a weird dynamic. I don't know if it's just sort of like a forced Wrigleyville kind of thing, from scratch Wrigleyville, sort of Lakeview kind of looking place. But the ballpark's fine, and it's not as nice as Target Field, but that's a team that just sucks terribly too. I mean, they're.
Well, the Cub comparisons.
Yes. They got Juan Soto, and that's it. And
like the Cubs have Patrick Wisdom and then nothing else.
Right. That's
they're basically
the
same. That's kind of equivalent. Patrick Wisdom and Juan Soto. Patrick's
they've got
25
you know,
years older, but still.
A family owns them, you know, the Lerners. Yes. And they are.
Fans hate them too, just like
they hate them.
Fans hate the Ricketts.
You know, they spend only so much money, and there's lots of, annuities or whatever it is, Bobby Bonilla type payments where it's all down the line. So
yeah, they'll be trading or they'll be paying Max Scherzer until 2023.
Right.
Think. It was weird. I saw that Steven Strasburg had like a 6-inning rehab start.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if he's going to pitch 6 innings, shouldn't he just be pitching for the Nats?
That is a lot, isn't it?
I mean, it was a pitch thing, and he was just cruising, so he got to go, you know. But it's the same with the Cubs. They send these guys out to do rehab things. And it's like, have you seen your team?
Well, right.
Just have them pitch for the Cubs. You know, you're not going to cost us anything. They're going nowhere. I mean, if the whole idea is you send them off to, like, you know, well, part of it is the – I don't want to cast any aspersions, but sometimes teams send veteran players on minor league rehabs to sell tickets in the minor league cities. There was a famous story about Jeff Jenkins doing a rehab in Beloit and finishing his part of the game. And, you know, he wasn't going to play the whole game. He was going to play like the first 5 innings or whatever. And, then he went down and changed into his street clothes, and they couldn't find Jeff. And then they found him under the bleachers with an admiring fan. Like, oh. And I'm sure he was just telling him, you know, she thought he was Brett Favre, I'm sure.
Right.
Because it was uncanny how much those two looked alike.
bizarre. That's one of those things that I never got over. That's a reference that I too would hammer, so to speak.
Well, Jeff was trying to hammer something like that. What'd you eat?
You know,
just had a hot dog.
I prepared. Yes, actually,
you brought your own food.
I packed the lunch. No, I
had a bologna sandwich wrapped in wax paper.
I asked around too. I know some people on Twitter and some good Nats fans, and they're like, maybe try the Ben's Chili Bowl. They have that famous Ben's Chili restaurant in DC, so they got a branch of that. And I didn't do that. And there were some other suggestions too that sounded like it was interesting food. They actually have a hot dog. It's a pun that looks like Terre Haute, but supposedly it's really good. And I didn't have that. I just went to, I got a regular hot dog and it sucked. It's terrible. And I don't know. I pride myself on going to the ballparks and trying, like in Minnesota, you try the walleye on the stick, although I don't think they have that anymore. But when they had it, I tried it. And then if I was just out of energy, I don't know, dragging a couple kids around DC, I think that's what it was. Yeah. I was just tired.
So
I didn't have anything good.
No, the Twins don't have walleye on a stick anymore because I don't know if you know this, but Joe Mauer actually made those. It was part of his contract. So when he retired, we don't have anybody around to make the walleye on the stick. I was going to discontinue it.
He would do that too. Yeah. I can see him grilling back there.
It was his mom's recipe.
Right.
He was more than happy to make them. He'd whip up a couple thousand of them before batting practice and he was ready to
Yes.
go.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever had like real food at a ballpark.
And
they talk about expand the we've expanded these menus and whatever. And
right.
I usually end up with a couple of hot dogs and then my weight in beer.
In St. Louis today, I had their version of an Italian beef.
Oh God, I can't imagine, because we know their version of pizza.
American cheese emails. And ketchup on a cracker. Emails. I don't mind the crust so much, but that Provel, species cheese, I don't know what it is, but it's some kind of terrible outer space concoction. But
got rejected by the Velveeta plant.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, this does not meet our standards. Send it to St. Louis.
Exactly. And St. Louis, overall, I think is a good eating town. They got, if you want other kinds of Italian food, you can go to the Hill or whatever and have good spaghetti or whatever. But
the fried ravioli, pizza. Right? Isn't that their specialty?
Toasted,
of course.
Yes.
Whatever.
That whole time. Just trying to keep it accurate.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. I wasn't whatevering you. I was whatevering the.
No, no, I, it, yeah, I understand.
The fact that some asshole in Missouri put ravioli in a toaster and said, no.
That's how cereal was invented in an accident. Yeah, ravioli in a toaster.
Well, it makes a god-awful mess, but it's good.
So the sandwich wasn't bad.
What is their version of Italian beef?
What's that?
Well, you said it's their version of Italian beef. What is their version?
Well, they had the giardiniera. They had the sweet peppers.
Okay.
But they put cheese on it. And it didn't quite, it just didn't, the spices weren't Chicago Italian beef. So it was more like a Philly cheesesteak, although they probably would quibble with how Philly it was. So it wasn't bad.
I don't even think it's there anymore. Did you go to Shannon's? Did you pound a few of Mike Shannon's?
I don't know if it was there. Now that they have the Ballpark Village, you don't really walk past it, to go to Shannon's or whatever. Is that Market Street or whatever where they have a couple of restaurants?
I know Jim Edmonds started and bankrupted a restaurant down there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do the thing at Shannon's. They had some unfortunate incidents with overserved Cardinal players at Shannon's. Mm. I always understood that what they did was much like the Packers at training camp, where the local kids will pull up in their bikes and let a Packer ride their bike from the locker room to the practice field. They do the same thing in St. Louis, and these kids, they just wheel, put them on their handlebars, and they drive drunk Cardinals home after games.
It's funny you should mention that. The today was like an old timers game or it was a fantasy camp kind of reunion or something. I didn't quite get the concept, but it was like Dave LaPointe and Ozzie Smith and a bunch of other guys who are kind of like Dave LaPointe, playing in a softball game of fans who are really prolific fantasy campers. This was after the game today, so I didn't see it. I was working, but I could hear it going on, and I'm like, hey, Dave, Dave LaPointe, it reminds me of the 1987 White Sox or whatever. So I was like, hey, Dave LaPointe's here and Ozzie Smith and all that. So I just wonder, after the game, was there some wheeling around of old Cardinals, just like you said, with the people on their handlebars? So.
Yeah, anybody? Timmy, who is that? Oh, it's Tom Ramsey. He forgot where he lived, yes. So I brought him home. He's going to sleep in my room. No, he's not. Why does he still look like Doug Henning? Doesn't he know that it's not 1984
those
anymore?
Curls. Have you seen his bat flip from the 87 World Series?
I'm sure I have.
It's a Cardinals highlight. I forgot, but it's really
but it's a series they lost, so I'm sure
they did. Well, yeah, I don't know if they lost that game or not. They did lose the to the Twinkies, but it was kind of ahead of its time. It was very contemporary bat flippy.
Yeah. I'm sure.
And it was a guy who never hit home runs.
All tisked him afterwards.
Yeah, right. I mean, especially, the Cardinals are kind of like that, aren't they? Where they sort of like the Braves, where they will police the behavior and then they'll commit the act.
Yes.
And people will over.
It's fine when they do it, but if somebody else does it, then that's when the unwritten rules have to kick in. Right. Gotti has to lecture your team as to. What's wrong with it?
And then he will make you get a neck tattoo as penance.
God. So exciting things for the local teams here in Chicago. The White Sox are now 2 games under 500 with their loss tonight. But the Cubs. It may seem like the Cubs are out of it, but I don't know if you saw it. Today they activated Jason Hayward and Nick Madrigal. So look out,
how
National
excited
League.
Are you?
Here come the Cubs.
Which oh,
you,
man.
If you add their averages together, you don't quite get to 400. Is that bad? Is that a bad sign? But that's fine. Dave Ross didn't feel the need to – oh, he did feel the need to start both of them immediately. Hayward is now taking over in right field while they wait for Saya's finger to heal. The most Cub thing ever. They announced Saya had to leave the game with a jam finger, and I was like, oh, it's broken. And then they said, we don't need to x-ray it. It's just jammed. And then a few days go by. It's like, maybe we should x-ray it. And then they x-ray it. And like, oh, x-rays are inconclusive. It's like, just put him on the injured list. And then a couple of days after that, they're like, oh, we need to put him on the injured list. After we played shorthanded for a week.
That, I mean, the Cubs aren't the only team that does that, but that just, I would say that's got to drive fans of, the Mets are famous for doing things like that.
Yeah.
That's got to drive fans as nuts as anything.
Well, and this is not a new thing with the Cubs. I mean, it goes, obviously, right. It goes way back to Mark Pryor. He's always fine. He'll throw a bullpen tomorrow. He's doing the towel drill today.
He's doing the towel.
Throw a bullpen tomorrow, he'll be fine. But then even when Theo showed up, and I tweeted about this because this was a real thing, it happened so much in 2017 where the Cubs would be like, oh, he's day-to-day, he's fine, we don't. And then they'd like wait 8 days and then put the guy on the injured list. I literally like wrote for The Athletic, does Theo know that the injured list is only 10 days now? did he miss the memo? And like, no, we can wait. Yeah, they had all kinds of roster fun over the weekend where they got to add an extra guy because they were playing a doubleheader. But then they had put a couple guys on the DL, and then the morning of a game against the White Sox, Chris Martin, I guess Coldplay had an emergency concert or something. He had to leave.
At Soldier Field, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's right. Actually, he went on the bereavement list, and they didn't have time to get anybody up there, so they played a man short in that game. But then they were also playing a man short because Saya actually got put on the injured list between games of a doubleheader. Now, it's not the best Cub thing to happen between games of a doubleheader. Famously, in 2020, Steven Souza Jr. got released between games of a doubleheader. And I don't think he played
it was a
in
day
the first
night,
one.
Though, wasn't it? The day-night doubleheader?
It'd be great if it was just a regular one and you just see him
like,
cutting across the field with his suitcase. Can somebody open the gate? Steven, why just use the concourse? No.
It's like Hobo Joel Youngblood.
Yeah, Steven immediately signed with another team, and he made the final out in two games for two teams. Just yeah, and remember this crap we talked about? We got up to whatever year that was with Joel Youngblood, and Mike was more than excited to talk about the Joel Youngblood thing. And yeah. For some reason, I thought he got traded to the Giants and, like, flew. And I always remember thinking, how did he get there? Well, he didn't. He just had to go to Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
So that was much, much more realistic that 1980, whatever, you could hop on a propeller plane and get to Veterans Stadium, whatever it was. They didn't have jets yet, did they? I don't think
so. No, they did not.
It's nothing like giving updates of sporting events that are happening while you're recording a podcast, but the Cubs just walked off the Brewers on a Christopher Morel sack fly.
Oh, he's done it again.
Scoring Jason Hayward. And you know how Jason Hayward got on base?
How?
The only way Jason Hayward can get on base. He was the designated runner to start the 10th.
Or does that even count as getting on base?
As I like to call it, he was the Manfred man.
The Manfred man, yes.
So I joke about that, and I have I've been trying to make that a thing. And in recent weeks, both Boog and JD have referred to the extra runner as the Manfred man.
Uh-huh.
So I feel very... It's funny because I tweeted it at Cole Kuiper and Alex Pavlovich, who do the Giants. They do a Giants podcast. Because they seemed like the kind of guys who would go for the
right
the Manfred man thing.
Definitely.
And they never did it, but the local guys did. So I feel very gratified. And I'm going to send them an invoice.
That can you make a T-shirt? Do we get into legal trouble there? That would seem like a good DeCipio T-shirt.
It does. I just have to think how I would design it. But yeah, and when I type it, I type Manfred, M-A-N, and then put the second N in parentheses.
Parentheses, yeah.
So I think legally, then that would get me out of jail with the Manfred man. Well, it's not a person. A group.
Right.
So there's nobody, you know, there's no guy named Manfred Mann who could sue me.
It would take it's like Jethro Tull.
It would take the group. I believe that's right. I don't think there's an
I thought Manfred group. Okay. I didn't know that. Could we also do Rob Manfred's look, you know, the little gap in the tooth somehow?
Good. Well, okay. So the band is named Manfred Mann. And the lead singer is Manfred Mann, but his actual name is Manfred Lubavitz. So I'm not getting sued by a guy named Manfred Lubavitz. Oh, he was the keyboard player. Yeah, so it is kind of a Jay Giles thing, where it's not even the lead singer who they named the band after.
Oh, so many layers to this.
Yes. So there's that.
And that's the same guy. That's why Doo-Wah Diddy doesn't sound anything like Blinded by the Light, because it's different singers?
I would guess, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know that? Well, I'm going to give you a bit of trivia, but I think it's old trivia, so it may have... I don't think he's had one. Did you know that Blinded by the Light was Bruce Springsteen's only number one single? He wrote it. He didn't sing it.
Wow.
Now, that may have changed since whenever I learned that factoid. But it was at least true at one point. I do remember as a kid.
Dancing in the Dark wasn't number one?
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't even have given that out, because who knows when I heard that. I'm just repeating it. I know it was true at one point.
It sounds
relatively. Like I do remember being very impressed as a kid. My sister's boyfriend was a huge Springsteen fan, and she bought him the live set. It came on three cassette tapes.
Mm.
And if you opened up, like, it had a little, it obviously had like a book in it, and you could look at it. And I just thought this was so impressive, even as a kid, that it said all music and lyrics by Bruce Springsteen.
Mm.
For every song on the thing.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, it got three tapes worth of stuff. And
put in a lot of work.
He wrote it all with that weird handwriting. Dancing with the Dark was number two.
Ah.
He has never had a number one song. So the only song he ever wrote that went number one is still Blinded by the Light. So there you go. I shouldn't have doubted myself.
No, I didn't doubt it.
Well, I did. So, yeah, one of the things we want to talk about was I was very anti-playoff expansion during the lockout. Because I felt like if you add a sixth team in each league, then people like the Rickets are going to be like, well, hey, Jed, you don't need to win 95 games. You just win like 82, and that'll get you the sixth spot. So that's all. I mean, here's enough money for you to win 82 games. And here we are on June 1st. And we could take a quick tour around the standings. There aren't very many teams fighting for those six playoff spots, which could make for a very long, boring summer for a lot of fan bases.
Five teams over 500 in the American League, I believe.
The Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Rays.
Or maybe it's six.
The Twins.
The Astros and the
Astros and the Angels. One, two, three.
And the Rangers are at 500, or they were tonight.
Yeah, so just six. So those are your playoff teams. Congratulations. Give you the T-shirts and the hats. So, yeah, the Rangers are 500, and the White Sox are a game under. Cleveland's two under.
White Sox two under after their loss tonight in Canada.
I should refresh this. And there they go. Voila. There they go to two under. In the National League, the Mets are the only team in the East that are over 500. They have the best record in baseball now, right? Or still the Yankees?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I don't think so.
The Yankees by percentage points.
Okay.
Two best records are in New York. Then the Brewers and the Cardinals in the Central. And the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants in the West.
And so also six.
Yeah. Ugh. That's not great. The Red Hot Cubs, now that they've won two in a row, have moved all the way up to fourth. In the Central, they're still behind. The Pirates are also red hot. They've also won two in a row. So, one of the things I wanted to ask you, because you're a national baseball expert.
Thank you.
Is as we look at some of these teams, who's out of it already? So, like in the.
Well, certainly the Royals. They are not anywhere near in anything.
Yeah, the Royals are 16-33. That's a red-hot 327 winning percentage. That's not good. So they're very bad. The A's are, they're already 14 games out in the West. June 1st, 14 games out.
That's a long way already, isn't it?
The Mariners, who harbored actual playoff aspirations and who would have been the sixth playoff team had there been such a thing last year, are no good. They are 21-29, which is not a huge surprise considering that their big additions were Eugenio Suarez and Jesse Winkler. Although they also had Robbie Ray, so I guess they got one. They get one guy that people thought, hey, that's pretty good.
Well, Eugenio has been, and this is not like a compliment, but he's been better than Winker. Winker's been.
Yeah, I just remember that getting them trading for those two and being like, okay, did you see the park that they were playing in?
Right.
And then have you seen yours? Because it's not the same. And Eugenio was clearly on the downside, and Winkler just felt like a product of Great American Ballpark.
Well, I mean, oh man, he's got a 282 slugging percentage. It's worse than I thought. That's just, there are so many players like that who are, you know, I'm not trying to scold them, but I mean, they've got, in another era, they would have been sent to the minors.
Well, it's the squishy ball. That's what
I guess. I think so. Manny Machado plays with the same ball, and mm-hmm. you know, Will Myers has one home run for the Padres in the middle of the lineup, and you know Machado is performing optimally. So we say it's a squishy ball, and I believe in the squishy ball, but Manny somehow manages to hit home runs. Just to name one player, but Ty France, slugging .513. So,
The Texas Rangers, who spent $500 million on their middle infield, are .500. So, they're probably feeling pretty good about that.
Not well, yeah. Marcus Semien is not. He's hitting terribly, so. I think Kyle Seager's been all right, but Semien's kind of like got Robinson Cano numbers. Slugging about .250.
Yeah, that's not good.
Or $250 million or whatever they're paying him.
You'd think it'd be the other way around because Corey Seager's too tall to play shortstop, but apparently he's he's making it work. The Fighting Joe Maddons are 27-23. They have hit hard times. They are losers of six in a row. While the Astros have lost like two games in the last month. The Astros are
well, you had to figure, I thought the Angels were headed for a course correction there a little bit because it seemed like they had a whole bunch of problems last year that they didn't really address in the offseason.
Oh, they fixed their bullpen with Ryan Tepera.
Yes.
Just the one guy. That's all you need. And then they got Turner Ward's illegitimate second cousin, who's like 34 years old, playing right field, and he couldn't make an out in April. That helped.
Yeah, he's turned into a – it's weird. I think only I find this interesting, but there's a player named Taylor Ward, and there's a writer who covers the Angels named Taylor Blake Ward. And I just find that just a very strange coincidence.
They should do like a Freaky Friday where they do each other's jobs for a day and see if anybody notices.
I wonder if the Taylor Blake Ward guy also can hit six slug 600 out of nowhere. And yes. I mean, can the Angels survive this losing streak and the Mike Trout fantasy football commissioner controversy?
Talk about that. Ah, that was, I loved how it all, The story just trickled out, too. Like, first right. You heard, ooh, there was an incident in the outfield during batting practice.
Right.
And one of the Reds has been preemptively ejected from the game. And then it was Jock Peterson and Tommy Pham. And then it was, Tommy's been suspended for three games. And then it was they were arguing over their fantasy football league. And then there was Jock just explaining what he did.
Right, and as if he's you or me.
Yeah. And I don't remember what it was exactly. It was a running back, right? And he claimed him on waivers but didn't start him. And
there was an injury, and he put him on injured reserve.
Oh, that's right. But he was he hadn't been – Tommy's complaint was the guy hadn't been
designated by the league as injured. Yes.
But, like, Jock was like, well, we use ESPN's fantasy thing, and I can't magically program it to put him on the injured list unless he's injured list eligible. So I did. So we hear all that, and we have a laugh about that. And then a couple of days later, Tommy serves a suspension and comes back and throws the league commissioner under the bus, which just happened to be Mike Trout. Called him the worst fantasy league commissioner ever.
What a thing to call somebody.
So then I just love the reporters that have to go get the comment from Mike Trout.
And right.
Mike was like, well, are you going to still be commissioner? And he's like, well, I don't know, I guess. I mean, don't all commissioners get booed?
So many great quotes from this stupid story. And it's great. It's like we all make fun of the story and, you know, put down that it doesn't really have any value, but we're all kind of like hanging on every word mm-hmm. at the same time.
Well, it's so stupid that it is entertaining then.
It was. It's just, it's good. I mean, you know, it's not Watergate, but it's good reporting on to follow up and get these answers that are so important. You know, it's not the most important thing in the world, but it was fun and funny to experience those twists and turns as they would come in.
And I mean, maybe instead of a 3-game suspension, maybe isn't it time to send Tommy Pham to like anger management? I mean, it seems like there's been a lot of Tommy Pham thing. Not even if we just completely disregard the fact he got stabbed at a strip club last offseason.
I'm sure it was not his fault.
No, it wasn't his fault. It's never his fault.
It is never his fault.
But he's had weird run-ins before.
Yes, he's an unusual character. I interviewed him a couple years ago, and he played winter ball in Venezuela, and he would tell stories about Venezuela had gone to hell at that point. And he's like, you know, we're walking around town with this duffel bag of cash, American dollars, you know, sort of expecting to get robbed at every turn. And it never quite happened, but we were always kind of on the lookout for someone to jump us and take all our dollars.
So was he trying to bait? Did he want to get attacked? Was that the?
No, it was that Venezuela's money was so worthless that, you know, you couldn't take credit cards anywhere, and so you had to carry cash around.
Well, we know Cub fans know that from the Dominican with.
Yes.
Sammy Sosa having $30,000 wrapped in the towel. Him and Manny Alexander sitting in a hotel lobby and they got stolen.
Same kind of thing,
The brain power of Sammy Sosa and Manny Alexander and a towel full of cash.
What a golden era that was.
I can't imagine.
It could have been anything. Don't assume the worst.
Jeez.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So in the Central, we already had to write off the poor Royals. Oof, that's bad.
The Tigers are starting to get hot. I mean, for the Tigers.
Yeah, they've six of ten, two in a row.
Right.
They have their run differential up to a robust minus 48.
Yeah, it's when you're under 50, anything's in play. I think they're probably toast. Cleveland is still in it, sort of. I don't think they're going to make a, you know, they've been scoring runs pretty well, despite having just, you think that Jose Ramirez is their only hitter, but they do a good job of getting, you know, they don't have a lot of power, but they get on base around him pretty well up and down the lineup. So, and they put the ball in play, as they say. So I don't say the Cleveland is out of it, but I also don't think they're in it. Kind of like the White Sox. The White Sox have been playing very mediocre ball for 2 months, and Tony doesn't always make great decisions, as we know. It's not a good combo. Tim Anderson just got hurt, so I think the Twins are, I don't know about a runaway winner, but I think they should be feeling pretty comfortable about themselves.
Yeah, so Tim had a groin injury against the Cubs and missed the Sunday game. And then I think the Sox might have been off on Monday. But anyway, one of the writers went into Sky Dome and Rogers Center, excuse me, and saw Tim Anderson on a stationary bike and said, well, that must be a good sign. And I was like, what part of the game involves riding a stationary bike? No, I don't.
Right.
Like, are we going to do pretend Tour de France? Is that the tiebreaker?
Well, remember Rodman when he was always nursing his back injury, he'd get on a stationary bike and that would be okay. But then he couldn't, that would be the extent of his exercise.
Do you know that the Cubs once had to put a player on the disabled list because he fell off a stationary bike? And that player was Steve Trout.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, he had a stationary bike accident and hit the ground and had to be disabled.
Well, former
White Sox.
Oh, I remember. I remember that. What was that trade? It wasn't the Pat Tabler trade, was it? No.
It might have been. Nothing like Googling stuff on the podcast.
Lynn McLaughlin? Why am I thinking of Lynn McLaughlin? That would have been a terrible trade for the White Sox.
Yeah, you were right. It was Warren Brewster and Steve Trout for Scotty Fletcher, Randy Martz, Pat Tabler, and Dick Tidrow.
That kind of worked out. And Dick Tidrow, somewhat recently, rest in peace.
And then the Cubs, 3 years later, 4 years later, would flip. Is it a flip if he could have a guy for 4 years? Probably not.
A long flip, but okay.
They traded Trout for three guys. Rich Scheid, Bob Tewksbury, and Dean Wilkins.
Tewksbury did not win a game for the Cubs. A fact I remember for some reason. 0-4, maybe, in 87? Something like that. In the back of his baseball card.
Yeah, it's 0-4, and he made a start in 88, and he did not get a decision.
But then he went to the Cardinals and had that resurgence.
Yeah, he won double-digit games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in a row for the Cardinals.
Ooh.
10, 11, 16, 17, and 12. It was 67 and 46 for the Cardinals.
Now, I am somewhat of a player apologist, but I'm imagining the quality of the stationary bike in the time.
Oh, it probably collapsed. because it hadn't been. Oh, we forgot to put the screws in it, Steve.
Right. Yeah. Definitely one wheel and like something, some kind of rectangle in the back. So
it was probably it was like in that supply closet where they would then have to pull the net down and move the stuff over and make a batting cage. And he probably got caught in the net in the on the stationary.
Right. Oh, Eloy.
I see Eloy was making a rehab appearance for the in the minors and had to be shut down. So going to have to put a little delay on the Eloy return. Yeah, the Indians are 22-24, five out, three back wild card. Oh, sorry, the Guardians. And the White Sox are 23-25, also five out and three out in the wild card. So
so they're not out of it, but I do not expect a comeback, you know, the Twins to collapse.
Yes, yeah, so you're writing the...
I am,
the
yes.
Sox are... We're just going to declare it. On June 1st...
We're calling it.
The Sox are not going to win the Central. They're going to have to get a wild card spot if they're going to go to the playoffs for the third time in a row for the first time in franchise history.
That's true. I forgot about the stakes. Yep. But I don't see them doing that either. I see moving over to the AL East. They've cooled off, but I think the Red Sox will probably have a better record than them too. And that's too many teams. That's too many teams to overcome. They're not going to have a better record than the Blue Jays, I don't think. And the Rays, probably not them either, and probably not even the Angels. So they're out. They're done. I'm calling it. The White Sox are done.
It's like music to my ears.
Yes.
My petty little ears. But you know what? They're a great franchise. They've been around for 121 years.
Cut it out.
And they made the playoffs 11 times. I mean, come on. That's great.
It's just, and that's what should anger White Sox fans. The Cubs got all that credit for being the lovable losers for years. The White Sox were much bigger losers.
They couldn't even embrace their own legacy properly.
No.
No, they dined out for like 20 years on, oh, no, we would have won all these pennants in the 50s. Except for the Yankees.
Except for the Yankees. Yeah, right. Okay.
And the Cubs are like, well, what were the Dodgers and the Giants and the, you know, there were good teams in the National League too, just because there was just the one in the American League, you know, up yours. You only had one team you had to beat. You couldn't do it. Go scratch. So Baltimore 22-30.
Better than I thought they'd be.
Yeah, for them, they're like, oh, things are finally turning around.
Right. I think they're just kind of turning a little. I wouldn't say turning around. Although Adley Rutschman is up, and you know he's a guy. Their good pitching prospect Grayson Rodriguez is hurt right now, but it's a lat injury. Which, if it's a Jake Peavy lat, that's bad. If it's somebody else's lat, maybe not so bad. But they're years away from something. I don't know.
Well, the Cubs, you know, they're. Apparent strategy of not picking a lane. We're rebuilding. We're not going to call it a rebuild. We're rebuilding. No, we can't call it that. And we're contending, but we're not really going to spend enough to actually contend. But we're going to sign some guys. But we've got Wade Miley and we've got Drew Smiley, and those two guys are going to be really valuable at the trade deadline. And oh, they're both hurt. Oops. Smiley, it's an oblique, so he might be back in a week, or he might never pitch again.
Right.
And Miley, I think this was shoulder again. That was a good sign, I think.
You don't need those as a pitcher. No. Well, very much.
I can just see them. How left-handed are you? You want to try the other one, maybe?
Throw with your feet?
So I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it because maybe like the man for man thing, somebody will finally listen to me. So you, Darvish, for fun, likes to throw bullpens left-handed just to do it. He has to pitch at least to one batter left-handed before he retires. He just has to.
Well, I mean, it, I guess there's a little more to it than Anthony Rendon hitting left-handed, but if he can do that in a game...
Well, he said he throws in the 80s left-handed.
I believe it. He's just a special human.
Yeah. I don't know if he does it to like, see, if it was Marcus Stroman, there would be this long BS explanation as to why he does it. Oh, no, I throw a left-handed to help center my body, whatever. Because Stroman, I think Marcus is the guy. I think he tells a lot of this stuff, and he just tries to see if he can get the writers to just believe him. He was talking about throwing bullpens barefoot so he could get a better feel for his balance. And I'm like, that just sounds like bullshit.
Could be an Eastern Zen thing.
Yeah.
Some martial arts are best performed with no socks. So.
That's true. Yeah, okay, so playoff teams. Sounds like you're leaning. Are you going to be as bold as to four out of the East? Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox, and then the
maybe,
Twins and Astros?
I can't necessarily figure out the Angels. You figure that Taylor Blake Ward will cool off at some point, but Shohei hasn't been that hot. I'd like to see Mike Trout get in the playoffs and probably lose two, three, or whatever the wild card is now.
Because he's played one game.
Not one game.
Has he only been in a wild card game? Or he had one series?
The Royals beat them in a playoff series, and that was the year that they played Oakland in the wild card game, so it was a series. So I think it's three games, I believe, for Trouty.
Yep, three games. He's 1-for-12 with a homer and one RBI.
Yeah, I'll say that the Angels, will get that wild card spot over either Tampa or Boston.
Okay.
Tampa Bay. They hate it when you call them Tampa because it leaves out the St. Petersburg. So I'm trying to be respectful.
All right.
But yeah, I think that's what it'll come down to. The Yankees and the Blue Jays in for sure. And then among Tampa, Boston, and the Angels, we'll get the other teams. And everyone else can go to heck.
All right, so now over to the National League. The Central Division has three of the worst teams in baseball in it.
It does.
The Reds, the Cubs, and the Pirates.
The actual worst, I think, with the Reds and two teams that are, strong in the bottom third. Maybe not as bad as Washington and Detroit, but.
Well, the recent hot stretches by the Pirates and Cubs have put them ahead of the Miami Marlins. So they only have the fourth and fifth worst records in the National League instead of the third and fourth.
I wonder if Joe Girardi can lead the Phillies to the bottom of the NL East. They only have a 4.5 game lead on Washington. I wonder if that can truly implode. Spectacularly so.
It could happen. So the Brewers are 32-20. The Cardinals are 29-21. Neither of them score very many runs, but neither of them allow very many. In fact, the Cardinals have only allowed 190. The Brewers have allowed 200.
Dakota Hudson twirling a gem today against the Pirates. But again, the Pirates have three or four guys slugging about 175. So they can't really figure out why Manny Machado is the only guy on that team who's hitting, but he is. So.
In the West, team that, Chris Bryant apparently plays for.
He's back on the IL, right?
Yeah, he came back for a game and a half.
Right.
He's back on the injury list. The Rockies are 23-27. They're no good. They are doing Rocky things. They're 16-12 at home, and they are 7-15 on the road.
Right. That's how it should be, damn it.
The Diamondbacks are 25-27. They're mediocre wherever they play, 14-16 at home and 11-11 on the road. And then there's the Giants, who are 27-22, and they are just a perpetual roster churn. Everybody's hurt or has COVID or whatever, and they get guys back, and then they immediately lose other guys. So you'd like to think that if that stabilizes, they've managed to stay in it. But some seasons, it never does. You guys just keep getting hurt.
I don't think that the Giants are – I mean, they do a good job of making the most of what they have. I don't think they're – I mean, obviously, they're not going to win 107 games or whatever this year, but I also don't think they're – this is a special team. I think they're – you know, they're in position to hold on for a wild card, but obviously the Dodgers are going to run away with that division.
Well, and they'll have a decision to make. They have they get to the trade deadline, and they need to decide whether they want to add or whether they want to trade Carlos Rodon, who would be a huge trade piece for
some team. He would. It's a little bit of looking into the future, but, you know, he's definitely elite or great or however you want to put it, but at the end of last year, you know, his shoulder was, you know, that's the White Sox still probably would have benefited by giving him a qualifying offer. I'm not sure about the logic of letting him go, but, you know, signing him to a long-term deal, that's kind of another thing altogether. So, like I think I've said before, if he can get through this season and his shoulder isn't crap at the end, then maybe you, you keep him. I don't know. I don't remember last year when his decline coincided with the trade deadline, but I don't know. I would just hope that he doesn't get hurt again.
Yeah, I mean, is the deal he has with the Giants, if he's a Giant, if he plays on the second year of that deal, it means he got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, the deal was signed, we'll have you for a year, and if you have a great year, you'll want to be a free agent again. And if you don't, you've got a contract for next year. But that's why if they get to August 2nd, which I guess is what the actual deadline is this year.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, I don't know if they have to trade him, because otherwise he's going to leave, and they're going to get nothing.
Right.
Because there are no more qualifying offers.
Right.
So maybe the Cubs will get him. There you go, you smart-ass fans. We traded for a guy. Oh, he's going to leave in a month? Oh, that's not good.
But what a month it'll be. It'll be fun. Enjoy the month.
Yeah, the Padres losing the three in a row are 30-20. And the Dodgers, the franchise that the Cubs are supposed to be, hey, we're a big market team, and we're going to pay for a big league roster, and we're going to develop talent. They're 33-16, and they have a run differential of plus 116.
That looks like overkill. How are they only 33-16, you know, in some ways, with that kind of run differential?
Well, their expected win-loss is 36-13, so clearly they're massively underachieving. Dave Roberts, fire him. Yeah, and then we get to the East, and the Nats, bad, 18-34. The Marlins, bad, 20-28. But they're just 2 years off of winning a playoff series against the Cubs.
Yeah.
And then the Phillies, 22.
You know, are the Braves – I think the question here is, you know, are the Braves – going to get hot again? Is Alex Anthopoulos going to somehow trade for Eddie Rosario, even though he's already on the roster? And is that going to spark the Braves to a second half? I don't know.
Do they need their entire outfield to get hurt again?
Right. Yeah, they got to. They have to lose Acuña again.
Spilling like marbles in front of their lockers.
Right. Call the White Sox for AJ Pollock.
Yeah, because right now the playoff teams would be Mets, Brewers, Cardinals, Dodgers, Padres, Giants. So,
right.
The Braves would be. I got to do math. Would be four games.
Five games behind the Giants.
Yeah.
Five games in the loss column, at least. Yes. Four games overall. Three in the win. If I added that correctly.
But that's pretty much it. I mean, unless you think that the Phillies have a run in them. We're sitting here on June 1st, and there's seven teams fighting for six playoff spots.
I think that they would have to fire Girardi and then have a few things go right.
So they bring back Charlie Manuel again.
I mean,
he's
maybe.
Still around. Why not?
It's sort of maybe the new Jack McKeon, yep. Or I can't think of another analogy, but yeah.
It's worked so well with Tony La Russa.
Yeah, it is not. That's, I mean, if it was anybody but La Russa, that guy definitely would be on the hot seat.
Yeah.
I mean, very obviously so, but, hey, you know, Reinsdorf let his GM fire La Russa once, so.
Oh, it ain't happening. At least not. I mean, this is it, though, right? Don't we? Everybody kind of agrees that has to dodder off after the season.
It didn't make sense in the first place bringing him in, so who knows? But, I mean, you would think so, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
but then that also would mean the end of Rick Hahn and maybe bring back Kenny Williams.
I mean, you work that hard to do your rebuild, and you get it to a point where, I mean, I know you were a pandemic playoff team, but still you were a playoff team.
Yeah.
And everybody felt like, look, all these good young players, they're all here now, and you hand it over to Methuselah.
Mr. Magoo.
So, yeah, so that basically this was a very long way of me saying that the idea that more playoff teams, it means more races, is 180 degrees from the truth.
As it turns out.
We're down to three very mediocre teams in the American League battling it out for one spot, and two in the National League. And that's it. Everybody else with... you know, 100 games to go. More than that, right? What do we got? 50.
I mean, potentially, it's early, but
right.
You
I mean,
could.
There's always one team that all of a sudden is going to get hot and show up right out of nowhere.
But potentially, we could be looking at one race.
Yeah.
You know, in the entire, maybe one race for, you know, the Brewers and the Cardinals, possibly. And then, like, the last AL wildcard team. You know, who's that? That's kind of the, and maybe if the Braves get hot, you know, but not a lot of races, period. And that isn't necessarily, you know, the fault of the extra playoff team, but.
No, my assumption is that it's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've lowered the bar again to get into the playoffs, and you've got enough owners who are like, just put together a team that's good enough to be in the hunt for that last playoff spot. That'll keep the fans happy. They'll have to show up in September because the Cubs are only 4.5 out of the sixth playoff spot.
Yeah.
And then maybe if we get in, then we'll get hot at just the right time. We'll be the Braves. And we'll win the World Series.
Right.
Why bother to spend to build a team to win 100 games when if you win 84, you got, you know, you end up with, you know, in theory, the same chance as the team that won 100 games. And the reason for that is, or the rationale behind the argument to that would be, yeah, the best team doesn't always win. But the best team has a much better chance,
yes,
than everybody else. And if you're going to go into a coin flip, you'd like to go in with your side of the coin being bigger than the other side. Is that, that
yes.
doesn't make any sense. But
no, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. You get my tortured analogy. Yeah, but that's where we are. I feel bad for the Peacock folks. You know, late in the season, who's going to be getting up at 8:30 to watch those games if, you know, the playoff spots are already decided? Yeah,
it's not like it's European soccer.
Or F1. So on Sunday, the Peacock game was Reds Giants. Mm. And it started at 10:30 Central, 8:30 Pacific. The Giants fans had an 8:30 game to watch. That seems like something that could be the schedule could be maybe.
Well, and like I said before, they're not. I mean, maybe they are taking into account, but I mean that feels like 8:30 in the morning to the Giants players. You know, that's
yeah. They didn't get a hit until like noon. Right. And they came back and won the game because it's the Reds. They were getting no hit, and part of it was, you know, they got to the park at like 6 o'clock their a.m. their time.
Right.
Yeah. Genius.
Maybe I should lay off the Padres for their non-impactful performance against Dakota Hudson today because the game started at 10:15 in the morning San Diego time. So
maybe that's what the Cubs should do. Maybe they should just play all their games at like 8 a.m. I mean, what the hell is this marquee after show? We figured it out. We know what our new advantage is.
Maybe they'll stumble into it and they'll do it.
The other thing I thought was funny was I assume that because it was the big Cubs Sox, the other two games, you know, they played two at Wrigley and then they finished. They've already done. It's, you know, end of May and the Cubs and Sox are done playing for the year. You know, each team has an announcer who has a national gig on Sundays.
Right.
You know, Boog doing the Sunday Night Baseball on the radio, which John Greenberg and I talked about. It's like, how serious is he about this marquee thing if he wouldn't give up the Sunday Night radio job? I'm going to be gone every Sunday doing national radio. You know, because 14 people listen to that. And then Jason Benetti doing the brunch, baseball brunch.
Right.
Neither one of them did their national jobs. They did Cubs Sox. And it's like, do we think that this is such a big deal that that's why we're, you know, it's like even the fans were like, eh.
What are you doing?
We've had 25 years now of Interleague.
Seems like it.
And it's just a thing now. Like this, that's just four games on the schedule.
Right.
And the idea that they were going to become these, you know, you're going to create these rivalries. They were at best, they were a novelty more than they right. were ever a rivalry. And the way I thought about it was if you early on cut those Cubs Sox games, the actual games, the fans would be nuts. They'd had fights.
Right.
Mostly involving women. There's some great footage of women fans having fist fights at both Wrigley and so anyway, the games would be really intense, but then a week later you forgot about it and you're just on right. with the normal part. If your team was any good, you were now worried about the real games.
Sure.
It never got past the exhibition feel of the good old Crosstown Classic.
That's a good way of putting it.
I mean, it's probably still the most iconic moment in Cubs Sox history is still Michael Jordan hitting a double off Dave Otto.
Right.
And I don't
And then number two, you know, might be Michael Barrett punching AJ, but you know, that's again, that's not a normal thing. Yeah. It's not something you're gonna have every year or anymore. Yeah. So
I mean the only way it'll ever change is if they ever go to the drastic realignment and they throw the leagues out and Cubs Sox are in a division and Mets Yankees are in a division and I don't think anybody really wants to see it. But seeing how desperate baseball seems to be with stuff.
You know, yeah. The way they'll take cash for any kind of TV payoff, you can see them doing it at some point.
Yeah.
At least experimenting with it.
Because the only way you get a real rivalry is you have games that mean something. That's why it's actually kind of funny that Cubs-Cardinals remains a rivalry, considering how many of those years those games really didn't mean anything.
Right.
And it wasn't always the Cubs' fault. It was usually the Cubs' fault. But, you know, there were other years where the Cubs had good teams, the Cardinals weren't any good.
Yeah.
And there weren't a lot of stakes. And they've, you know, been playing forever. They have one playoff series against each other. Greatest playoff series of all time. And and so the reason I say that is for a long time, when the Brewers first moved to the Central or to the National League, Bud's biggest thing was we want him to be in the division with the Cubs. That'll be a rivalry, even though they had been playing the White Sox forever. Nobody gave a shit about Brewers White Sox, and it took a long time. And it didn't change. It didn't become a rivalry until both teams were actually good at the same time, and
right.
were actually fight. You know, they played a game 163 against each other, and they did all that crap. It's the only way it really happens. And you can try to manufacture this stuff. I don't mind interleague play just because it is nice to rotate all the players through all the parks over the course of a few years. But if you're going to ask me to get all gooey about the Cubs and Sox, I'm just not going to be able to do it because it just doesn't feel like there's really any stakes to the point where I wouldn't care if they rotate them out and they don't play every year. They're never going to do it because Jerry Reinsdorf will throw a fit.
Here's a take sort of related to this. Is there a need for the White Sox if they're in the same division as the Cubs? Do you need two Major League Baseball teams, you know, if one isn't in the National League and one isn't, I mean, and the whole leagues, as we know, are, that's kind of a farce. The differences between the leagues, they don't matter anymore. Not just because of the DH, but because of interleague play too. Do you need the White Sox? Do they need to exist in Chicago? You know, would they not be better off in another city if they were in the same division as the Cup? Why do you need two Chicago teams in this, you know? Why? It might be interesting for a while in Chicago, but I don't know how sustainable it is in the long term.
I would be really frightened about what the Cub payroll would look like if the White Sox weren't in town and the Ricketts didn't even have to pretend that you had another choice.
That's like the nicest thing you've ever said about the Sox. That's interesting.
Well, yeah, they're just there to be the. Oh, it's funny. I guess I didn't know it's funny, but when they won the World Series in 2005, the 2005 Cubs were bad, and they were terrible in 2006.
Yeah,
embarrassingly bad. And there was all this talk about how the White Sox are going to take over the town. And there's their chance. They're finally going to do it. They've got this exciting team. They won the World Series, blah, blah, blah. And it didn't happen. And it didn't come close to happening. And they don't have as many fans as the Cubs do. And they're not a regional team like the Cubs are. But they do just kind of exist because there's a couple hundred thousand baseball fans who don't want to root for the Cubs. And then they go root for the other team, and they'll go to their games over and over again. It's a product of a big town, and they've got enough people that we can sell tickets to two different teams. I mean, there used to be three in New York, so it is funny though because I don't think the White Sox are, you know. They had their chance. They could have been the Tampa Bay White Sox, and they little shenanigans in the State House at midnight, and they got their park, and Jim Thompson saved them. So they're going to stay forever. But now there's talk that the Angels are looking for somewhere else to go because maybe LA doesn't need to be a two-team town. So you're onto something. I just can't. I mean, if you ask me, does Chicago need the White Sox? My answer, of course, would be no, because I don't care about the White Sox. But there are enough people who actually do that they're not going to lose them. Not as much as Chicago needs an AFC football team. That was always Mayor Daley's threat if the Bears were going to move out to the suburbs, was, we'll get an AFC team. It's like, okay, yeah, you try that, Richie. Right if you get the Olympics. That'll be good. So, I don't think we solved anything.
Were we trying to?
No.
Okay, good.
But it was interesting, I think, to take a look at, we have 2 full months of baseball, and way too much has been decided, I think, for anybody's. But at least if you're a Cubs fan, you have all these exciting young prospects that no, they're not. They're still going to play Jason Hayward. You're not going to see him. Now, Marquee is going to show a bunch of minor league games on the network.
Mm-hmm.
They're very excited about that. It's promoting the hell out of that. And it's like, okay, I mean, I guess I can. We watch a minor league team play on your network every day. What's 4 more?
Mm.
So we'll see. All right. Well, thanks, Dave.
You're welcome, Andy.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Many of us have herpes.